Hello, everybody.
Welcome to another Quirky and Chenille.
Welcome to another Quirky and Chenille.
What are we talking about tonight, Chenille?
We're talking about the same thing we talked about last time.
And what would that be, just in case somebody missed?
Social justice. In case they missed, they should go and listen to the other one.
They should.
Social justice / anti-establishment.
Yeah.
Songs that are sticking it to the man.
Sticking it to the man.
With not only very important messages, but pretty full-on sort of music and great lyrics.
Yep.
And songs that mean something to us and had an impact with
what
they
definitely.
Did.
Yeah, definitely.
Or had a message that may still be relevant today, even though the song is years old.
Yeah, definitely. Which has been surprising, hasn't it? So some of the songs as we've gone through are kind of like, hang on.
Yes.
That could have been written yesterday and it would be just as relevant.
Yes,
and
so we've had a lot of race-related stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Rears its ugly head in a lot of them.
Yeah, definitely. And the previous 12 that we've spoken to had that sort of a flavour, and the next 12, the 12 that we're going to talk through today, are also pretty, angry, really, about stuff and drawing your attention to it in a helpful way.
Yes. Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes not so helpful or
no, sometimes kind of angry.
Yes. So at number 12.
Yeah, kick it off.
Dear Mr. President by Pink.
Yeah. So this was in the George Bush era. Mm-hmm. And it's Pink basically talking about all of the things that weren't so good in America, such as people living on the streets, people not being able to get healthcare or treatment for their children or for things that they needed to do. The treatment of, gay and lesbian people. In particular, she talks about the story about if it was your daughter, wouldn't you still love her? Does it really matter? Like, it's quite well constructed and a very powerful song, as Pink does really, really well.
Yes. She can do angry very well.
But
controlled anger.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's like it's beautifully constructed, and she has that kind of that seething, I'm really pissed off, but I'm going to keep my tone. To the point where I'm angry, but I'm not going to,
Yeah, because I think the other thing is if you're too angry and just yelling, people don't take any notice.
Yes.
There's countless examples of
that,
too.
Yeah, definitely.
There's people I know, too, that I think we're almost immune to that kind of thing now. Unless it's super like that, but...
And I think you can't build a cogent argument. Am I using all the wrong words tonight?
Yeah,
what is? So you can't build a coherent. Coherent. That's the one I was looking for. You can't build a coherent argument very well if you are that angry.
It's probably going to be irrational. And
your amygdala actually takes over, and it's the fight and flight the response that you're getting. So you're not being clear and calm, and actually you're not getting a message across when you do that. So,
which is what you really want with a song like this.
Gets the message across.
I love the controlled anger. Although you think, that was about George W. Bush. What's she going to write about?
I think everyone's just kind of going,
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, if I write a song about him, he'll think it's me.
Oh, yeah.
Me thinking I like him. And he won't.
No.
Let's not talk about him.
Anyway, moving right along.
The best way to stop a fire is not to give it oxygen.
Yes, absolutely.
At least with this song, I think she thought, maybe there's hope with this guy. And if I reason with him, he might take some of it on board. Clearly, that's not going to happen with this song.
Yeah, and the one thing that people have said, so Simon Sinek was out, who's an American author who written a book, Start With Why. And it was interesting because one of the questions he got was, as an American, are you embarrassed? And he said, well, it's hard... question to answer, because on the one hand, he's obviously not very good, but on the other hand, people are rallying like they've never rallied before
against him,
and that unification that's happening against that evil is actually quite powerful. And he said, and that's a good thing. So it's kind of like it's a fascinating way to look at it and correct in a lot of responses. But
okay.
And that was just, 12. Whew.
I know. Number 11, Bob Dylan, The Hurricane.
Yeah.
We've had a few conversations about Bob Dylan before that we respect him as a songwriter, as a performer, probably not our favourite performer.
No.
However, this is probably my favourite, one of my favourite Bob Dylan songs that he sings. Very, very catchy, almost stirring, especially the bass line of it.
Yeah.
So it's about Reuben, the Hurricane Carter.
That's right.
There was a movie about it that Denzel Washington should have won an Oscar for, but didn't, and then he won it for Training Day as a makeup Oscar a couple of years later.
Yeah.
But
makeup Oscar.
They have, don't know. It happens all the time. So this was to, and this had a whole lot of celebrities that jumped on the cause as well. And it, you know, at the time it didn't actually work, but it had enough, you know, was still in the public conscience that this, you know, the group in the movie then had a look and re-look at the case and went, so hang on, somebody just saw a black guy at a crime scene and they arrested you and they didn't actually have proper evidence and you went to jail for something you didn't do.
Okay. And was there for a really long time, like 20 plus years, something like that.
Yeah,
so
really long time. But
and was constantly professing his innocence, but nobody would believe him. It wasn't until these Canadian kids were actually researching it that they kind of went, I don't think this makes sense.
Yeah. It's amazing. And it's an amazing story. The movie's really great too. I think they did that quite well.
Yeah, and again, came out not so angry. You know, wow, wouldn't you be furious? I mean, angry, yes, but not too late.
Yeah, who knows what you'd do in that situation.
I suppose there's nothing you can do, is there? It's done.
And as Bob Dylan says in the lyrics of the song, he could have been the champion of the world.
Yeah.
He was rising up the boxing rankings. And
very good at what he did.
Yeah, we'll never know now. But he was eventually freed.
Yep.
But
definitely.
So, great song. Kudos to you, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, good on you, Bob Dylan. Very well done.
Okay, number 10. You can talk about this
one. I will, thank you. So this is a Cold Chisel song called Four Walls, which is probably a much lesser known Cold Chisel song.
Mm.
And it's about, the four walls represent the four walls in Bathurst Jail. So it talks about four walls, a wash basin and a steel bed. And this particular song is actually about the riots that happened in Bathurst Jail in 1974. At the time, Bathurst Jail was actually pretty crap. Bathurst winters are very cold and there was no glass. It was just the steel barriers, no glass in the windows at all. And they would just be given like a sheet pretty much to try and keep warm. So it was pretty, pretty shit. And they rioted to then kind of get better conditions. And the song talks about how the prison guards kind of beat the rebels down. It's personal for me because I grew up in Bathurst. I was there in 74 when this was all happening. My dad actually worked at the jail as an engineer, so he was there when the riots were actually happening, but was not involved in the, you know, the beating down thing, and actually lost his eye because he got bullet fragments in his eye as a result of it. So it was, so it was full on. But it's one of those songs that's bittersweet for me. It's a very well written song.
It is.
It's very not Cold Chisel the way you expect them to be. But then also I know that not everybody was like that at the jail. So not everybody was beating the rebels down. I know that that's the case. We had many people that would stay at our house when they were released from prison, murderers, you know, all sorts of people that you would think were vile and they weren't, but they would stay at our house that first night out. Dad and Mum would feed them and then, you know, they'd stay the night and then they'd go on their way the next day. And they, you know, not everybody was like that there. So for me, it's bittersweet.
Was the song put out straight after it happened or was it a little while later and just recounting the story?
I think it was a little while later.
What was the purpose of the song then, just to make people aware of what
happened? Make people aware of it, yeah, I think so. Yeah, and it could have even been there was some number of years later, there was a coronial inquest and stuff into it as well.
Okay.
Royal Commission, I think it was actually.
Okay. So,
so
it
may have been then.
Brought it back into the news.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, so Neil encouraged me to pull it in, even though I was like, oh, I don't know if I really want to talk about it. But I'm glad I did, so thank you for encouraging me to put it in.
Well, and number 9, probably another one of your very favourite bands as well. Spy vs. Spy or versus Spy vs. Spy.
I know.
They've changed their name.
V Spy. So Don't Tear It Down is the song. Did you want to?
No, this is what yours.
So this song is about, and oh my gosh, it probably is happening right now. So this song is about not tearing down old buildings just because they're old, because they appear, you know, to maybe have lived their life, but to actually try and you know, better them and improve them and do stuff like that. Like, basically, don't tear down your history or your story. And if you look around now, the amount of apartment blocks that are going up left, right and centre is actually changing the feel of communities completely. Gladesville, for example, that I go through on the bus nearly every day, it's just horrid, the amount of units that are going up there. It's not Gladesville anymore. It's awful.
Yeah.
And that's what this song is about. So this is 80s and, yet, you know, 30 years later.
And especially with putting them up quickly, cheaply. Yeah. It's generally taking shortcuts to put them up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how many new buildings have problems within the first 10 years?
Yeah.
Really? How did the council let that happen? Or
why
is it suddenly 3 stories higher than the original DA said it was going to be?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I've stayed in places like that where the walls are so thin that then in the morning I could hear the guy next door peeing in the morning. It's like, come on, this is ridiculous. I can hear him going to the toilet.
I used to live across the road from the Horizon. People said in some of the apartments, and that was, you know,
40-something,
whatever the story's like, if you shone a torch on the wall, someone next door could see the light moving around.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, going in.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it's not saying it's not anti-progress. It was saying don't just tear everything down.
Yeah, just take 2 seconds.
If there's a solid building with solid foundations, work out something else to do. Yeah. The other thing I really hate when people say, oh, it's got a heritage order, so we've got to keep the facade, and they just keep a concrete wall or whatever it was, the brick wall at the front.
Yeah.
Everything else. That's not what they meant. No. It's not in the spirit of why you're doing this.
No. Yeah, it's very frustrating. And that right now, you know, New South Wales government is very big on development, and I get that. Development funds.
There's more
the
people here. There's more people moving here, so that we have to find accommodation for them.
Yeah.
We get that.
But you can't perpetually keep building. Like, you can buoy the economy for a while, but eventually you have to stop. They can't build everything, so it's not going to work long-term. It's actually a ridiculous long-term strategy in terms of economy. But anyway, that's a high horse.
Stepping down from my soapbox.
Stepping right back up.
Hang on a minute. I've just looked at number 8 and I'm furious again. U.S. forces, midnight oil.
Yeah.
Oils. And there are a few oil songs that we could have chosen. Blue Sky Mine. Beds Are Burning. Dead Heart Lives. You name it.
Yeah.
In fact, they were, Midnight Oil pretty much built their career around anti-establishment. Yeah.
So if you want to pick two Australian bands that are extremely political, hey, Midnight Oil, this is fine. They're the ones you choose. Yes. Extremely political.
I loved the other thing about this song. Clearly, it's about, all the...
Yeah, the occupation at Pine Gap.
Pine Gap, yeah.
Yeah, of the US force. So they have a base at Pine Gap. If people don't know about it, you should know about it, which is American territory. So we can't go on there. We can't do anything. But it's actually a key defense mechanism for the United States for them to actually use as a way of detecting, things that may be happening around them. So it's quite controversial that they've got that base there.
And interestingly, too, I remember when Peter Garrett went into politics, and let's not talk about that because that just undid all the work he did as a musician, anti-establishment.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him.
Have a moment to...
Yeah.
No, when he first became a politician, John Howard, how journalists ask stupid throwaway questions like, so what was your favourite Midnight Oil song? John Howard actually said US Forces. Do you know what it was about?
Yeah.
Hello. So, and so I don't think we're going to get less angry as we go further up.
No,
I'm just looking at another one. So at number 7, I'll take this one then, because I really love this song, and I kind of introduced you to this song just before. The Whitlams, Blow Up the Pokies.
Yeah.
Super powerful lyrics.
You even had tears in your eyes.
I did, even talking about it. It's such a, incredible song, and really about the gambling industry and how people who just can't afford it are the ones that they're making money from. And some of the it's like there's a guy sitting there playing the pokies mindlessly and they're kind of standing behind him going, dude, do you really think you should be doing this? And there's words like, you've got a family at home, you've got a wife.
Yeah, kids.
You're taking the food off the table.
Yeah.
It takes so long to earn, you can double up or you can burn.
There
are just some incredibly powerful lyrics in this. Yeah. It is a great song. The Whitlams, I don't think I know a happy Whitlams song.
No, there isn't any. One angry little girl.
But this is...
it's a perfect song.
It's not even angry, but it's more maudlin, melancholy, but this one just has a really powerful message, and it's still, even 20, 30 years later, it's still as relevant today as it was when it was first released.
They have so many tricks in this process that's about So every time you get a win on the pokies, what actually happens is you get a dopamine hit. So you get like,
because it has the happy music, which is like a Pavlov's dog almost. You go,
and, you know, yeah. So being able to pattern recognition, that sort of stuff. So it actually is designed to encourage you to keep going and keep going and keep going, because you know you nearly got it that time, and you know it's just. It's designed that way to basically fuck with your head. So I agree with him. Blow up the boat.
Yes.
Alrighty.
Number six.
Yeah. We're nearly into the top five.
Speaking of artists who don't mind a bit of anti-establishment.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Bragg. Yep. Between the Wars, I think, was the song we've chosen.
Yes, it is.
So many to choose from.
I know.
In fact, every single song Billy Bragg ever released was probably on the table, out for consideration.
He's actually mellowed in his older days, and his most recent album talks about, you know, if you wanted somebody to build a house or repair a chair, then you've married the wrong person because I'm a singer. Like, it's just kind of like, it's not quite as, you know, workers' rights, fuck the union, that sort of stuff. You know, not fuck the union, but fuck the establishment, how dare you not support people in the union, that sort of, you know, thing.
Because Between the Wars was about the British miners' strike, which was a big and very controversial period in the UK's history.
Yeah.
Either side of the fence, and we're not going to take sides on that one. But
no,
yeah, Billy Bragg, I think, was someone that could just represent that feeling so well through the song. And his voice is also, it's not loud and angry. It's almost sort of melodic.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And because he has that tone to his voice as well, that kind of rougher, more sort of Liverpudlian sort of sound to it as well, it's not polished. And I think that works really well for him. Workers' Playtime being his, you know, famous one, Life's a Riot, that he did actually with Spy vs. Spy. They did a joint one together around that. So, and he's still angry. So I've seen him live at Sydney Opera House, so glamorous establishment that it is. Not that you'd expect, you know, necessarily Billy Bragg to be there. And the night before, he'd only gone and protested something around the Inner West, around a bypass or a
West Connects.
Yeah, like something like that. It was like he was there protesting with them. You know that.
Even though he just came and went, "Hey, something bad's happening.
That's bad. Yeah. I'm gonna go protest with them."
Yeah.
So he's just that sort of a guy. Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Number five, we're going to another UK band. And, you know, if you want to have angst in a song, the UK are pretty good at...
They are.
And there's a whole lot of events to choose from as well.
And if you want to go anti-establishment, then, hey, apart from the rap ones that we've talked about before, this is the place to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to get some good punk that's going to go, fuck you, world.
Yeah, and speaking of which...
Yeah!
Number five.
Yeah.
Nothing like a nuclear apocalypse to kind of get you a little bit upset. The Clash, London Calling.
Absolutely. It's a fierce, hard guitar. You know, it's an
anthem.
You must
feel on edge during the song. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, and it's about everything. A nuclear apocalypse, collapse of the banks, you know, global warming, you name it. This song's got it all in it. And thinking that it's 70s, you know, it's quite spectacular that you kind of go, hey, all those things happening right now.
All of these ones on the list, you go, that was a big issue, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And you go, things have progressed. But you think, okay, if there wasn't this sort of stuff, would they have even progressed a little bit? Or would they have regressed?
Good point. Yeah.
So I think they still play a very important part with social change. And it's just... You keep chipping away from different angles all around an issue, and music is one way to do it.
Yep, absolutely.
And this is a great song for that.
Yep, brings it to the surface, makes it visible. Speaking of which, brings it to the surface and makes it visible.
Number four.
Wow.
Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy.
Yeah.
1992, a song, Television, The Drug of a Nation. Sound familiar?
Yeah, exactly. And reality TV.
And exactly.
Gogglebox.
This was before reality TV, really. But the words to this song, and even printed them off. You've got a little printable PDF of the words.
Yeah, it was incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
So incredible.
And there, I'm just trying to, I've got them here, but they're trying to
So they talk about, you know, violence, that a 12-year-old is going to be exposed to 15,000 murders.
Well, 1,500 murders before the age of 12.
Yeah, before the age of 12. They talk about the dramatic decline of people reading books. And I know from research that I've done around that, that's actually declined even more. And why is that an issue? I hear you asking. Who cares? We've got other things, Netflix, etc., that we can do. Books actually teach you more than movies and more than games. They actually teach you empathy, and empathy is a really important thing. And empathy in the last, I think, 20 years has actually gone down 15%. So statistically significant, and that's a freaking large amount, 15%. So no wonder we have cow punches. No wonder we have all these horrible, horrible ills of the world. There's a lack of empathy, people. Just put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Feel what it might feel like if you were them, and then behave accordingly.
You don't. If you're playing a game, you go, oh, that's funny, let's just kill them. And there's TV and video games, but it just completely desensitized the whole generation of people. So and this, I said, this was 1992, which, you know, I always think of stuff in the 90s as like it's only about 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
And you suddenly go, shit, that was 26 years ago. And the words to this, if you do nothing else after this,
I agree.
Go and look at the words.
We should stick the link in, actually, I think.
This song is also very, very similar to another song from 1971 in terms of just funky hip-hop vibe to it. The Revolution Will Not Be Televised.
Yeah.
And very similar style as well. In fact, I'm, you know, wondering how much they lifted or how inspired they were.
Yes,
let's put it that way. And The Revolution Will Not Be Televised is also the same kind of thing in 1971. So you're going, okay, so every 20 years
we just get really pissed off about stuff.
Television is, you know, dumbing everyone down. Are we noticing this? I was going, shh, TV's on.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't talk now.
And it's smart now too. Yeah. It's a smart TV. Holy shit, it's going to strangle us in the middle of the night. And in particular, this kind of goes back to the story that we were talking before. So it's written by Americans, and there's, I don't remember if it's this one. Anyway, I don't know if you've watched American cop shows versus British cop shows. They, you know, I need to be at this particular address. They need to look at the piece of paper and then across the street and it says 23. Oh, yes, my piece of paper says 23 Wisdom Street. And that's 23 Wisdom Street because I've shown you the street sign. Hello? We get that's where you're going.
Yeah.
All we needed to see was the address. Hello? British don't do that. They don't do the whole,
okay, we'll just assume that you've worked that out.
Yeah, I know, it's just insane.
Well, slightly off topic, but actually same point. My partner's grandchildren, we watched some DVDs because, you know, been camping in the caravan and stuff, and we watched a Ninja Turtles movie, and it's high pace, heavy music, you know, swagger, all this stuff that I don't particularly like, but and all the dialogue is dumbed down, but they explain everything they're doing and why they're doing it.
Oh, okay.
So, like, everything's just handed to them on a plate, which, you know, okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
If they like that. We watched The Dark Crystal with them because I said, this is a movie I really liked as a kid. And they were going, you know, this is, like, so slow. What's happening now? Why is he doing that? Like, well, this is up to you to work out. They'll tell you later. No, I want to know now. Tell me what's happening now. Why do they do that? Like, you'll find out later in the movie, but they're not thinking about the story or I wonder why this is happening or what's happening here.
Wow.
They were just like, I just want to sit here and be entertained. I don't want to actually think during a movie or...
Wow. But they're the ones that I love the most. Like, even on Netflix, they're the ones where you have to pause it and go...
Hang on. I need to process that.
Give me a sec. I just need to... I just need to understand what shit just happened. Yeah. They're really, really incredibly powerful. And those movies that stick with you for days, you can't stop thinking about them because they're there in your mind.
Inception
going
did
over,
that for me too. But well, A Dark Crystal I loved just because it's a great story.
So
but,
good.
You know, kids' imaginations are being overtaken because just saying, I don't know.
Here it
just,
is. I'll feed it to you.
Yeah, just tell me. I don't want to work it out for myself.
Shame. That was one of the funnest things as a kid, being able to just go into a completely other land.
Television.
That you make up completely.
The drug of a nation.
Yes.
The drug of the world.
So it is.
So, okay.
So angsty. Okay. So you know what I think we need?
What?
I think we need some anarchy.
Anarchy. Not just in the UK.
In the UK.
I think we need everywhere.
World anarchy. Thanks to the Sex Pistols.
Yes.
Now, if you're going to have anti-establishment... What did we say before? Anti-establishmentarianism.
Yep.
that they encapsulate it perfectly. It's absolutely almost like that is their, yep, that's their bag.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a whole lot of anger that goes in your face.
Johnny Rotten going off his tree.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I totally want to be an anarchist. Totally those hard driving guitars.
Yep.
Yep, it's me. I'm there. I'm an anarchist. Especially after the television one. Fuck! I have to be.
Yeah.
It's just bullshit, man. Yeah, we're gonna have total, wake up, people.
We're going to have total anarchy. Let's schedule that in our calendars.
Yeah. Let's do that on Thursday.
Oh, I can't do Thursday.
Oh, can't do Thursday?
Yeah.
What about Tuesday?
I'm not free till March.
Oh, okay. Well, let's schedule it in for March. March. We're going to do anarchy.
No, wait. I'm doing stuff in March. Yeah.
We'll find some time.
Schedule some anarchy in at some point.
Okay, everyone, be anarchists now.
Yes.
And stop. That's enough.
Just a great angry song that actually encapsulated the whole punk movement as well in music. So late 70s, mid-late 70s.
Yeah, mid to late 70s, The other part, so Malcolm McLaren was also around at that time. Mm. He was actually the producer of the Sex Pistols, so he's an interesting character.
He's a very interesting person.
Fascinating little dude. But so was Vivian Westwood, who is a fashion designer, created a lot of the outfits for the Sex Pistols, and still does, and he's still a punk.
She is
And he's
out
still
there.
A rebel, she's... and still an anarchist. She's just fucking awesome.
And she's 70, well, she'd be in her 70s, wouldn't she?
Like old.
Yeah, like old.
Where do we go from here, Neil? I think we need a little bit of shush.
Well, maybe just a song that's a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
But with it, you know, and then this is a sleeper. Little tap on your shoulder going, hey, little things, big things grow. Yeah. Just wanted to say that. By the way, here's an entire story that's going to blow your mind.
Absolutely.
Paul Kelly, and who better to tell a story than Paul Kelly?
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame for that.
This isn't angry. Well, this isn't really angry. It's very anti-establishment.
Very anti-establishment.
It's more a story about being anti-establishment, but at the same time going, by the way, don't think this is an isolated incident.
No, absolutely.
This is definitely a sleeper.
It is a sleeper, and it's beautifully constructed, as Paul Kelly does so, so well.
Mm.
And it's about these Aboriginal community that have been disenfranchised from their land. Hello, has that ever happened before? No, not at all. Like, all the bloody time.
Yes.
And even the way that they protested was very different to the way that you'd see people protesting nowadays, with a march on the streets with big banners and, you know, bandanas on their faces.
All the angry stuff that we've seen in our top 24.
Absolutely. They're just going, you know what? We're just going to sit here.
I'm not
going
to do it. I'm just going to sit here.
Yep. And I'm just going to wait
because
we're patient.
No, I'm good. I'll just keep sitting here.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
How infuriating would that be if you're on the other side going, no, fight, come on.
Yeah, get exactly.
No, just going to sit here, I'm good.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do any work until you make my own demands.
Yeah.
I'll just be sitting here when you're ready.
Yep. They offered this guy money, they offered him, you know, land, they offered him, like, so much stuff, and he's going, no, I'm good, I'm just going to wait. Just going to sit here and wait. And then eventually there's this famous picture of Gough Whitlam. And he actually takes a handful of sand, which is beautifully written in the way Paul Kelly writes it as well.
It's just the tall man,
The big white tall man comes and he takes a handful of sand and puts it in his hand to say, this land is now your land. It's just, I've got goosebumps all over me.
Oh, and Gough Whitlam was 6'5".
Yeah, he was a big
Australia's
man.
Australia's tallest ever Prime Minister. Ooh, another bit of trivia for you.
There you go.
Yes.
Says the trivia king.
The only downside for this song for me is that it's been picked up by you know, we can't talk about different super funds, but it's been picked up on an ad on TV. And yes, okay, superannuation grows as well, but not sure you know the roots of this song, so it's just a little bit annoying.
And I think it's kind of hilarious, because you can imagine Paul Kelly going, yeah, sure, if you want to use the song. You've got no idea, you idiots, what it's about. Just like, good on him. A little bit cheeky.
Yes. So after all of this, who could be number one?
Who could possibly be number
one?
Maybe a person. We've even had the Sex Pistols before that.
With an entire album, I think.
Yeah.
Her very first album was just anti-establishment, anti-establishment.
Oh, my God.
Anti-establishment.
Yep.
Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
In fact, I love this. You know how I'm not a big lover of entire albums?
No.
I love this entire album.
No.
Love it. And there's light and shade. Okay,
there's darkness.
There's a whole lot of darkness and things that aren't quite as dark,
yes,
I think, in here.
Yeah.
there's a couple of beautiful songs in here, beautiful love songs in here too.
Yeah, and you know that I'm not the biggest fan of extremely dark darkness, but I absolutely love Tracy Chapman. I think that she brings a message to you in such a way that it's kind of like gets under your skin and you can't let it go. It's just beautiful.
And that's in the writing as well. So Talking About a Revolution is the first song on here.
Yeah.
Behind the Wall is just an a cappella song about, well, you know, there's domestic, it was domestic violence, but, oh, by the way, the police always come late if they come at all.
Yeah.
And when they arrive, they go, oh, we can't interfere with domestic affairs. Yeah. And then, you know, she says, then I can hear her through the wall and she's crying.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to be able to help.
Yeah.
And it's just this sense of helplessness. Fast Car is also, which was, you know, one of her biggest selling tracks, was also about, there's a lot of shit happening in my life. Let's just get in the car
and drive.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so there's Mountains of Things is another song. It's about, look at all my mountain of things that I've got here. Yeah. You know, this is what's important. Yeah, actually, no, if you're exploiting other people to get that, no, that's not a good thing.
And she was so very different at the time when she came
this
out.
This album was so different.
There was nobody like that. There was no music like that. There was no one saying these sorts of things at the time.
Even when you look at the genre, it says folk.
Yeah. Not really.
Sort of folk.
Yeah, copy.
It's acoustic. Yeah. You know, it's not really soul. It's just Tracy Chapman. She's a
it's
great
like her
songwriter.
Own genre. I was
she's, got a,
say
she's got a great voice too, and it's just it just feels like a really honest, genuine voice. It's not pretentious. She doesn't do the vocal gymnastics thing.
No, it's like, here is this story that I really think you need to know. It's just that very kind of plain's not the word, but that honest, that very honest way of kind of going, here is this story. You really need to know about this story.
Yeah. And even if she doesn't say you really know, you just get hooked in and listen to it anyway.
Absolutely.
So
she doesn't force it, but at all. But
no,
like,
and that's what I like too. It's just, it's so good that you have to take notice of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yay, so social justice.
Woo.
And establishment.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Sticking it to the man. I don't know if I feel good about talking about those or just angry still.
I feel a bit of both. So I feel good.
Well, we actually had quite a debate with this list.
Oh, did we ever? Which is rare for us. Normally, we're like, yeah.
Yeah, they're top three. There's it, but we even just every position they had to work for it.
They certainly did. But I think that this is this just shows the power of music. So it adds. I was going to say I've said it before, and I have probably said it before, but music puts words to an emotion, puts words to a story, puts words to things that you might not know about. And these are exactly that. It's okay to be angry and pissed off at the world, because you know what? There's a whole heap of shit that's happening and we need to be angry and pissed off at the world about it.
Yeah.
And the television one is just that. The power of this, though, is you can choose what you do.
Yes.
So you can choose how you behave. You can choose how you engage with it. And you can choose not to be the way that they're talking about here. So that's the power.
Yes. Don't want to be an Australian idiot either.
Absolutely. Definitely don't want to be an Australian idiot. You want to choose where you spend your time and your attention.
Yeah. And
just little things grow out of it.
And what we talk about the fact that I like really dark music as well. There's a time for all of it for me. So there's a time to be angry. There's a time to just have silly, fun music sometimes.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean it's not important all through the thing.
No.
But, you know, you can't have an entire industry filled with that music.
Oh, God, no.
You need the diversity
absolutely.
To just kind of get you through. But
well, life is light and shade. Life is joy and sadness. Life is hardship and, you know, prosperity. Like, it's all of those things. It reflects those things, which is great.
Yes, absolutely.
Reflects our lives.
So, well done to all of our 24 artists that made our list. And there's
social justice.
No doubt some that we've forgotten.
Oh, yeah. Please hit us up.
Hit us up. If, say, there's a song that I think, you know, should be on here, we're happy to amend this at
we
some
can
point.
Always do a social justice list version 3.
V3.
Here's
the viewers' choices of ones that we didn't have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've already gotten one come through already.
Yes, all right.
Which neither of us have heard of, so. How exciting.
I know. Okay, thank you for that.
Thank
and there will be the technically part 3 as well, which was the...
Yeah, the empowering.
An issue, but I'm going to take an empowering and positive spin on that to say, here's the bad thing, but here's
I
think we should
do
about
it. Yeah, for sure.
As opposed to just, let's be angry and social conscience thing. So
Neil.
Yes.
What will you be doing with your week coming up?
trivia two nights a week.
Yeah, so where's the Tuesday trivia? So
Tuesday nights at the Balmain Hotel. Yes. Wednesday nights at the Dog in Randwick.
Yep.
And
radio show.
Radio 2 RDJ. I'm doing two programs.
Yeah,
now.
Are you?
I am, and you can go www.thevoiceofneil.com to find out more.
Yay.
I am doing Drive Time 5 till 7 Fridays, and I'm doing Feeling the Love.
Ooh.
So I'm doing love songs.
Wow.
Because there's no radio show that would probably do a deep depressing, let's just play depressing, morose songs.
Yeah.
I'd have a great program for that, by the way.
Yeah, you would.
But probably wouldn't be a lot of listeners.
Yeah, what a shame.
No, so Feeling the Love is my new
Feeling the Love.
So that's where I get my positive. That's and another area that we haven't explored at all in our stuff. So love songs play an important part.
Yeah,
too.
Definitely. We haven't.
We need balance. Diversity, balance, that's the key to everything in life.
It is.
I even say it's the key to your trivia table too. Diversity, balance.
Okay, look at that. So there's a lesson for everybody in that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, see you next time.
See you next time. Bye. Bye.